There's a lot of concern about the mental health of Gen Z. You know, there have been studies done. Their depression rate is about 42%, which is more than twice of other generations. And there's a report that said 61% of Gen Z had been diagnosed with anxiety, which is a very high percentage. And there's probably a number of factors that contribute to that, but one of the issues is social media, which definitely plays a role in that, and that's an issue that's not going away anytime soon. But one of the issues with social media is that people will post content, you know, what they think or what they're doing in their lives, and they're hoping to receive positive feedback. You know, they want to get likes, as many likes as they can, and that gives them a rush and a feeling of affirmation and belonging when they get likes, you know, on social media. But if they don't get those likes or if they get negative comments, it can have the opposite effect. And so if people are basing their self-esteem on the number of likes they get when they post something online, then it shouldn't be a surprise to us that because of the level of uncertainty, that that would create a lot of anxiety for them. And it also creates a cycle where they're constantly going back to social media, trying to seek the affirmation that they desire. And there can also be a fear of missing out. So they don't want to miss something that somebody posts or something that someone says. And so young people often spend hours and hours every day immersed in this artificial reality. And it can become their life to a certain degree. You know, this is an artificial reality, though, that is a recipe for disaster. And legislators are looking for different laws to limit the harmful effects of social media. And there's definitely a place for that, but you can't just legislate this away. You know, but the real fundamental issue is posting things and getting likes on social media is not the type of community that we were created for. That's not what we ultimately desire and what's going to fulfill us. And unfortunately, people who are too immersed in that world will often shut themselves off from real community. And, you know, they'll be glued to their devices at family dinners or at family gatherings because they're seeking these artificial highs, but they're actually blocking themselves off from real community with the people who are around them. In today's gospel, you know, we hear the voice of the Father. And it's not very often that we hear the voice of the Father in Scripture. He doesn't speak very often. It's kind of like a lot of human fathers. They don't say a lot. But when they do speak, it's important, and we should listen. And so I want to look at these words that the Heavenly Father says and you know, some, and one aspect of their importance. You know, but the words that the Father says after Jesus had been baptized, he said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." You know, these are words that come from the very heart of our Heavenly Father. Imagine for a second, your father. You know, if you're an adult when you were younger, or if you're younger, just imagine your father saying these words to you, looking at you in your eyes and saying, "You are my beloved son or daughter. With you, I am well pleased." You know, imagine the impact that that would have on a child. It would probably strike pretty deeply into their soul. But when a child knows that their father delights in them, it shapes their sense of self-worth. And they can recognize their own value and dignity through the heart of their father. When they recognize that their father sees goodness and value in them, then they see that dignity in themselves. And it doesn't matter how many likes they get on social media. If they recognize their dignity through the eyes of their father, then they will be well grounded. And it also reveals something about the father. You know, it reveals that in the father's heart that they cherish their child. Now, Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. He would even spend entire nights in prayer. And in the gospel today, Luke doesn't actually tell us about the baptism. He just says that after the baptism, Jesus was praying. And these words from the Father give us some insight into what his prayer life was. But when Jesus would turn to prayer, he was entering into this relationship with his heavenly Father. And think of the peace and fulfillment he would have experienced as he was reflecting upon and entering into that relationship with his Father. And so that gives us a lens into our Lord's own prayer life. But each one of us, through our own baptism, was brought into that relationship. When we're baptized, we become adopted sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. So we're actually brought into, united to Jesus Christ. And so by our union with him, we become adopted sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And so we can find our true dignity, not just through our earthly fathers, but when we experience ultimately this relationship with our Heavenly Father, when we enter into that and experience that ourselves. And the Father not only speaks these words to us, but the Father also sent his Holy Spirit upon us so that divine life flows through us. And through the Holy Spirit, by responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we can be drawn deeper into the life of the Trinity and experience what it means to be a child of our Heavenly Father. And so part of the life of prayer is about encountering God our Father in this way. And people who have a deep life of prayer delight in prayer. They love praying. They enjoy spending time in prayer. Well, why is that? Because that's where we find where we can find our true happiness and our true dignity, is by entering into prayer and experiencing that relationship with our Heavenly Father. But unfortunately, too few people have a deep enough life of prayer or enter into it in that way that they can experience that depth and find that fulfillment. And ultimately, you know, we want our parish to be a place where each one of us has experienced and lives as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Not just going through the sacrament of baptism, but actually experiencing and living what that truly means. And if we have a community that's shaped that way, if we experience that dignity in ourselves, and if we can see that in each other, and we form a community based upon that, then people are going to be drawn to the faith. Because as much brokenness and emptiness and broken relationships as there are in this world, people will find something different here in the church. And they'll be drawn to what they can find in the community of the church that they can't find elsewhere. You know, the answer to the struggles of so many young people, and not just young people, but all of us, you know, isn't legislation. I mean, some legislation might be very appropriate and needed. But the ultimate answer is what young people and all of us are ultimately thirsting for, which is for baptism. And not just to be baptized, but to enter into a form of prayer that's deep and profound enough that it leads us to encounter our Heavenly Father. And so as we celebrate the Feast of the Baptism today, I encourage each one of us to spend some time in prayer this week. Come to church if you can, to adoration, but if not, just at home in a place where there's not distractions, and reflect upon your own baptism, when you were baptized, and allow the Heavenly Father to speak these words to you. You know, you are my beloved son or daughter. With you, I am well pleased. And allow the Holy Spirit to draw you deeper into that relationship and deeper into the life of the Trinity.